Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time! And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series! The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
What a gift that was. It is the holiday season. The iconic call from the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes. The Cubs won the 2016 World Series. I can't believe it's been over 8 years. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Pat Hughes, CircaLasVegas.com.
Pat, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking some time out on a Saturday morning to join Ryan and myself on Inside the Clubhouse. And your first thoughts, I would ask, about this trade for Tucker and the move that they made yesterday.
Well, first of all, Bruce and Ryan, it's nice to be with you guys. Happy holidays to you and to all of your listeners. I am excited about it. It reminded me almost of about 10 years ago when we got the news that the Cubs had signed John Lester. And you thought, okay, that's a big statement that says we are trying to win right now. And I had that same feeling yesterday. And Bruce, I would like to also say right off the top that once again, you were in front of and on top of the story, and you're always in that group of people leading the way in new baseball developments. And you've broken so many scoops and stories and deals over the years. People respect you, Bruce, and I admire you for that. And I know that if an executive tells you about a trade that is imminent and he says something like, here's the deal, Bruce, but please don't break it publicly until, say, for example, 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, they know they can trust you. And, you know, not just team executives respect you and trust you. That applies to ball players, agents, other media members, respect. And I certainly respect you, and nice job once again.
Thanks a lot. You left the part out where I wrote you a check for $100.
Oh, no, I was getting right to
he just cashed it.
Thanks so much, Pat. I appreciate that.
So, Pat, you talked about, you know, the comp to John Lester and how it made you feel. And in the last couple of seasons, there's been some ebbs and flows, and there's been some exciting moments for you in the booth and some great calls. But having a guy, and we just had Jim Callis on from MLB Pipeline, having a guy that he says, and we all know, is one of the 5 or 10 best hitters in the game, changes the Cubs and changes the perception in the NL Central. What's it like for you as a guy who calls these games, knowing that, okay, we're getting a signal here that 83 wins isn't enough going into the 25 season?
Well, I think he's the kind of a player, Ryan, that immediately your team is going to be better when you put him in the lineup, let him play right field, stick him in the four or five spot or three. I mean, he's a quality player, Gold Glove winner. He draws walks. He gets hits against righties and lefties. He's a clutch player. He's one of those guys any team would find room for him on their roster and right in the middle of their order. So immediately it makes the Cubs offense better. That would be the first thing that comes to mind. And then I think it also takes a little bit of the pressure off of other guys like Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, Dansby Swanson, among others. They know they don't have to carry the load. This guy's going to carry a big part of the offensive load. And when the Cubs were really going well back in the last decade, they had a wave of offensive players. Right. And it was just, you know, Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, Zobrist, you know, not to leave guys out, but Baez, Addison Russell. You just knew that, you know, there was no one pressure or pressure on one player because so many other guys could carry the load. And that's kind of the way I see Kyle Tucker fitting in. It takes the pressure off the other guys, and he's going to do a lot of work himself.
You know, Pat, I there were a lot of times I came into the booth, talked to you and Ron before the games, and we have so much fun, you know, talking baseball before the games. And so many times you and Ron would say to me, you know what, we have really good players here, and they all can be productive and helpful. But, you know, at some point you need a star player or two. And I think you identified that, you know, in your conversation on Ryan's question. But, you know, the reality of what you talked about, the pressure you take off of the rest of the lineup is so important. The idea that takes the pressure off of everybody. What do you think pitching wise the Cubs need? Because they have, again, good starting pitchers. They added another good starting pitcher. But do you think a power arm is something that would take that group to the next level in short series?
I would say one thing I've been thinking about, Bruce, regarding the Cubs pitching staff is their bullpen. There were too many games last year where they let those late leads slip away. Instead of a win, it turned out to be a loss. And those really have a devastating effect on your team. There's a lingering aspect to squandering a late lead, and it's just a downer. And sometimes it lingers for several days, sometimes even a week or two. You cannot let those one or two run leads slip away in the eighth and ninth innings very often. Every team is going to suffer some difficult losses, but you cannot let it be a regular occurrence or else you're really in for a long season. So I would say, to answer your question directly, power arm, yes. I would say you need some bullpen guys, some guys to get outs in the seventh, eighth, and especially the ninth innings.
Yeah, 26 blown saves last year, to your point. The Hall of Famer, Pat Hughes, joins us here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. And Pat, you know, we've been talking about, you know, Jed Hoyer has to manage a payroll, obviously, as we all know. And we have Seiya Suzuki and Cody Bellinger being rumored out there all week. And that's going to continue as we could carry on here in the coming weeks. But when you have Kyle Tucker in the middle of your lineup, and this is something we've been discussing on the show, you know, Cody can only do so much when you don't have protection. I can live in a world where maybe it's an either-or situation if you have to move one of those two players in order to acquire either that stud closer or maybe another frontline starting pitcher. What would a Cody Bellinger or a Seiya Suzuki provide Kyle Tucker for opposing pitchers? Because we had Drew Smyly on this show, and he said, you know, 5-10 years ago when people came into Wrigley Field, they feared facing the Cubs because that lineup was so deadly. And I think, you know, to our points that we've been talking about Kyle Tucker, that's what's been missing. It's not just stars, but it's the protection around him.
Protection, I think you can always have left-handed bats with power, guys who can hit for average and drive in runs like Kyle Tucker. I was thinking also, if you did hang on to both Bellinger and Tucker, then you got Ian Happ, a switch hitter, Imagine you're a right-handed reliever facing the Cubs in the eighth inning at Wrigley Field on a nice warm summer day or summer night, and you're trying to hold on to a one-run lead facing those three tough left-handed power hitters back-to-back-to-back. That's a very unenviable position for most pitchers, I would say.
Pat Hughes will celebrate his 30th year in the booth for the Chicago Cubs in 2025. A tremendous Hall of Fame career so far. You're not going anywhere anytime soon, which is great. Let's talk a little bit about what happened this week. A friend of ours by the name of Dan Fabian Sr. passed away, who was everything to the mechanisms of WGN Radio back in the day when WGN Radio was at its height. How instrumental was he in you coming there, and what was your relationship with Dan?
It was very cordial. I knew him for only a brief period of time. He was in the mix of people that decided that I should be the guy to take over as the Cubs radio play-by-play man, so I'm forever grateful to him for that, among others. And he left then after only a few months. After I had been on board broadcasting Cubs games, he was let go, I think, or he, I'm not sure exactly why he left, to be honest with you. It's been so long ago. But he was only there in charge for only a few months after I came on board. But a very nice man and cordial and kind of, you know, kind of fun, had a good sense of humor about him. And I thought he was a good person.
BaseballVoices.com is where you can get your holiday gifts. Pat, please take over and tell us a little bit about Baseball Voices, what you have for Cub fans and baseball fans out there for the holiday season.
Well, Bruce, thank you. It's been a side business of mine, an off-season business primarily, for about 20 years or so. We've put CDs together on people like Harry Carey and Ron Santo. Ron's is about all the fun that he and I had on the air. We have a CD on the Cubs winning the World Series. We've got scorecards from Game 7 of the World Series, Game 6 of the NLCS when Kyle Hendricks pitched the masterpiece against the Dodgers and put the Cubs in the World Series. We've got the Kerry Wood scorecard. These are my personal scorecards from Kerry's 20-strikeout game. We have others, too, but if you want to go to baseballvoices.com, there's a lot of fun stuff there, and I will be willing to sign any items for you. In fact, if anyone orders two items or more, I promise I will call you just to make sure that we get the personalizations exactly the way you want it. I can put two Bruce or two Ryan, the Chicago Cubs win the World Series, and then be happy and proud to sign my name on it.
You still have the bobbleheads, Pat, or is that a part of it as well?
Yep. They're also at baseballvoices.com. The bobbleheads, I've been lucky enough, Bruce, to have one after the Cubs won the World Series, and then another one when they were kind enough to put me into Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame. So I've got the World Series bobblehead and the Hall of Fame bobblehead. And those are fun, too.
I just want to reiterate to our listeners that Pat Hughes will call you if you buy two items. Pat Hughes will call you to make sure the personalization is correct. I mean, that's next step, next level personalization. Pat, I want to ask you a question because I don't think I've ever asked you this in our limited conversations. Okay. I know that the 2016 Game 7 call, it's iconic. It lives on its own. It'll live long after we're all gone because of what it meant in the history of that night. What's the runner-up? What is your favorite call that's not the 2016 Game 7 World Series?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ryan. It's not really for me to say, but the first thing that came to mind would be the double play that ended Game 6 of the NLCS in 2016. It was against the Dodgers. I think Yasiel Puig hit into the double play, started by Russell. It went to Baez and then over to first. And I said, the Cubs are going to the World Series. And then the Cubs win the pennant. It was very emotional. And even more emotional than making that call right after that was over, I just let the crowd go for about 20, 25 seconds because people were just going crazy at Wrigley. It was so special, and I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it. But then somebody handed me a message. It was either an engineer or a producer, or I don't even know who it was. That's how oblivious I was to reality at that moment. But they handed me a message, and it said, the National League champion, Chicago Cubs. And as I read it, I could feel my voice kind of quiver a little bit. It says, the National League champion, Chicago Cubs, will play the Cleveland Indians in the 2016 World Series beginning Tuesday night, game time to be announced later. But I think that call is also a very, very special one for me. And there have been others, but that's a pretty good place to start. I think the David Bodie game-winning grand slam against Washington a few years after that was very special. There have been other ones, but those are just a couple that come to mind.
Pat, in closing with you, and we wish you and Trish and the family happy holidays as always. When you hear that our friend Tom Hamilton has been elected to the Hall of Fame in the broadcasters wing, joining you and some of the other, all of the other greats that are in there, what were your thoughts?
I was elated. He's one of my best friends in the business. I've known Tommy for probably 40 years. I talked to him that day that he got the call from Cooperstown. He was ecstatic, as you could imagine. He's a great announcer. He's a great person. When my wife had breast cancer many years ago, Tom called repeatedly. He sent us gifts. He's got a heart as big as a mountain. He's a great person, and I'm so happy for him. And I was very, very happy to say welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Well, speaking of great people, Pat Hughes, you're one of them. And we appreciate you for coming on Inside the Clubhouse this morning on 670 The Score with Bruce and I. We wish you guys nothing but the best this holiday season, happiness and health. And let's hope that the Cubs continue to add so we can have another great call in 2025.
Ryan, that sounds like a great game plan to me. But thanks to you and Bruce. Always good to be on, and I enjoy listening to the show. So keep up the good work, you guys.
Thanks, Pat. Pat Hughes joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Bruce, one thing I wanted to add, because when he was talking about Game 6, we were both there. That game does stand out. Like, yes, we've been, you and I have the unique and fortunate just chance to be at both the Cubs and White Sox winning the World Series. There's a very few, and I don't take that responsibility
lightly.
I have a lot more perspective on it now at this point in my life. There's a very select handful of us that were in both clubhouses covering both those teams. Game 6 at Wrigley Field was one of those nights that you just never wanted to go home. Covering it, all of it, you wanted to soak in as much of that as possible because you just knew you were part of something different.
It was my favorite game that I ever covered in baseball for all the reasons that you and Pat talked about. It was one of those majestic moments, the magnitude of it, seeing Cub fans staying around, cheering nonstop all through the time that they clinched a pennant to the time of the presentation of the MVP award and the trophy for the National League title to the Cub, to Tom Ricketts. But, you know, seeing, you know, Kyle Hendricks and Baez share the MVP. And then myself walking out, which I'd never done before, right after game, to center field by myself, standing there. Everybody else is up around second base where the presentation's going. And I'm soaking it all in. And it was an emotional time because, you know, as much as I enjoyed the White Sox and the Cubs winning the World Series – and those games, which will always be special to have covered. And as you said, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I'm the only guy that was able to be on the pre and post on both the White Sox World Series championship and the Cubs World Series championship. Just, you know, dumb luck on the whole situation. But the reality of that was really something special that night.
Yeah, I think I was in left center field. And, you know, like, just to strip it all down in full transparency, it's like, we're all fans. That's how we got here. Right. You know, we're all fans of these teams and these moments. And we, along the way in our careers, we get warped by all of the stuff that comes with the job. Teams and players and executives and ownership, and you get a little worn out. But in those moments, you mentioned emotion. I too took a step back, not just in 2005, but in 2016, because we were on the road a lot with those teams. You know, you and I crossed paths many times in those teams. And I was there in 03 when everyone walked home in just complete emotional catastrophe after the loss to the Marlins. And to see them all get rewarded, I know not everybody from 03 was around in 16. That's what baseball is beautiful. That's why it's beautiful, is because it is different.
So for a fan of the game, which I have been and will be till, you know, from the time I was six till my dying day, getting the experience that a player only gets of fans standing and cheering while you're in the field, while I was standing, it was, you know, it was numbing. It really was. I never pretended, nor I will, to be a baseball player or be that important in anything other than, you know, reporting the news, which has always been number one to me. But the reality of that was, it was a tremendous experience, something I'll never forget, and something I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm glad that Pat was able to, you know, kind of bring that back to life, because it's one of those things that it can get lost. You can get lost in those moments of like, well, it's all about the World Series. No, sometimes it's about the process or how you got there. And it was unique. We don't ever run, like, we're never running into the outfield. It's freelancing, trying to chase guys with a microphone. That was a one-off sequence that I think everyone got caught up in. And I'm glad that Pat talked about that. I mean, it's the game of Kyle Hendricks' life. The fact that they got to do it at home. What sucked about 2005 is none of that stuff happened at home. Yes, right. Game two was one of the best World Series games period I've ever seen.
Everything was road.
You know, but they were so dominant in the playoffs that everything was done on the road. So that's the one reward White Sox fans didn't get. But to have that clinching scenario, it's probably one of the greatest games in Chicago sports history. It might be number one.
For me, it is. Absolutely. All right. On top of that, I'll just say this. Pat Hughes, who's not only a colleague of mine at the Score, because of the fact I do pre and post game with him and Ron and Zach, he is so loved by Cub fans that when at the Cub convention, when you're there, you're going to see Pat Hughes autograph lines longer than any player that's there to sign autographs. And the time that he takes with each person taking pictures there, it's unbelievable. And that's how important a great broadcaster is to a team, and he personifies all that.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to make a phone call personally to you by buying two items or more? But to your point about that connection between Hall of Fame broadcasters or just broadcasters in general to the fan are what makes baseball romantic. It really is. It's why you love the game.
And there's no other sport like that.
Nope, not at all. Well, on the other side of the break, we are going to talk to Steve Sparks, who's part of the Houston Astros pre and post, or Houston Astros call, and he's going to talk to us about Kyle Tucker. I want to ask him some questions about, I know the Astros tried to extend Kyle Tucker last year, what the Cubs are giving up to the Astros for Kyle Tucker, and why it was time for the Astros to move on from one of the 5 to 10 best hitters in the game. That's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The payoff. High drive right center field. Castellanos back.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine back here on 670 The Score, Inside the Clubhouse. We certainly hope to hear a lot more of those type of calls. That was Kyle Tucker homering in Game 1 of the 2022 World Series, compliments of Fox. You could hear the stadium. You could almost think about what Wrigley Field could be like, and we're going to go back to the hotline to someone who saw a lot, saw all, quite frankly, of Kyle Tucker. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline is Steve Sparks, former big leaguer, big league pitcher. He shoved in his one start at Wrigley Field. I want to talk to him about that. Steve Sparks, download the Circus Sports app today.
Sparky, welcome to our airwaves. Congratulations on the trade on your end. We want to know a little bit about Kyle Tucker, the person, Kyle Tucker, the teammate, Kyle Tucker, more importantly for my own process, what kind of interview he is. Welcome to the show.
Well, he's gotten a lot better at interviews, I'll say that. So we do this show in the off season. It's called Astro Line, and it's an hour long. So you typically, you bring in these young guys for an hour long, four segment show. You're asking for a lot of content, and you're looking, of course, you know, Bruce, for some elaboration. And Kyle wasn't the best of that early on. So we had to kind of talk through that just a little bit, just so things wouldn't be as awkward as they were before. But I think that personality, you know, to begin with, is a big part of why his pulse is so good in big moments. And I think that served him well. I think being a younger brother of a professional, a Major League Baseball player, also certainly helps with that type of pulse. But he comes up in big moments, and you guys know, and I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, not only against righties, but against lefties too.
So Ryan and Sparky, I'm translating for Sparky.
Okay.
He's not a great interview, and he preferred not talking to the media, but
cool. Sparky, so 22 questions Sparky, for 3 minute interview.
But Sparky got the best out of him after a while.
So. You know, he got a lot better. I'll tell you. And actually, he's kind of sneaky funny. He just wasn't ready to kind of open up at the beginning. But he really has. I'm not just saying that. He's gotten a lot better, and he became a presence. He was a voice in the clubhouse after a while.
Good. Bruce is going to have to really work, which is good. I like to see Bruce work, which is fun.
That's right.
So I want to talk about why, you know, why people are going to go, like, why was he available? Why is Kyle Tucker being traded if he's one of the 5 or 10 best hitters in the game? And I know there were some contract discussions last year from the Astros and his camp trying to extend him, and it didn't go well. And he's been pretty adamant that he doesn't want to talk about extensions in season and wants to get to free agency. So why was this the right time for the Astros to move on from Kyle Tucker?
You know, I'm not privy, obviously, to those conversations, but I would imagine you start to take, you know, ownership of how far apart you may have been. I know they tried to extend him on a couple of occasions at least, and they were probably further apart than they were probably comfortable with. Jim Crane, the Astros owner, has been outspoken about not wanting to go real long into these contracts. He doesn't feel like it's good business, according to him. So getting up to probably where Kyle's going to be after next year, it wasn't going to be feasible for the Astros to sign him and to get something when they could, whether it be last trade deadline, where I thought that they might dangle him. They decided to dangle him this offseason. And, of course, the Astros feel pretty good about what they got, and I'm sure the Cubs feel great about what they got. And it's interesting, you look at Isak Paredes, he's probably a better Astro than he is a Cub just because of the ballpark.
Absolutely, with the Crawford boxes out there and he being a pull hitter, you're exactly right. Steve Sparks, our guest from Astro Radio, doing all the calls on radio on the color, and former knuckleball pitcher in the big leagues for a long time. Sparky, when you look at Tucker now having to be the man, okay? So on the Astros, the last 8 years, you've had nothing but stars. And for a guy like Tucker to be the third or fourth star and yet being one of the most productive players in the big leagues, he could, you know, he could be in the background a little bit, and maybe the pressure wasn't as great. How do you think he'll take to being the man here and being expected to carry the offense?
You know, I think he's been groomed pretty well the last few years, Bruce. And I'll say this. On Team USA, he became, you know, one of the leaders. Mark DeRosa talked about that. The manager of that team said that, you know, personality-wise, and when they had their text messages among the team, he was kind of a leader as far as joking around and keeping everybody pretty loose. Michael Brantley is going to play a big part of what you're going to see because he took him under his wing for a few years with the Astros. They became very close. They still are, but I think Michael was a great influence as far as routines, how to go about your business, professional at-bats, all of those things. But, and I alluded to it earlier, I don't think you can replace having a big league older brother, not alone, you know, let alone just a big brother, period, to become a better version of yourself as an athlete. And I think Kyle had a lot of that when he got to the big leagues.
We know the Cubs had success, obviously winning the World Series in 16 and then the seasons that followed, but they've been striving or trying to get better. They had to kind of go through a little reboot. I wouldn't call it a rebuild the last few years to kind of get here, a couple of 83-win seasons. You're getting a player that's not just a phenomenal athlete and a phenomenal baseball player, but a guy who's been in the postseason pretty every year of his career. What can that do for the rest of a clubhouse that's trying to get where he's been the last 5-6 years?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on him and Dansby, you know, because they've won the World Series. They know what it takes to get there. So you watch the way they go through their pregame routines, their stretching, their batting practice, when they work out after the games, how much they put into it, what do they need to do to be one of the best players in their profession? I think just leading by example is probably the best thing. And as a former player, that's who I gravitated to. You know, I wanted to see how the great guys prepared before games mentally and physically and how relaxed they were. And I think in the playoffs, and we've learned this a lot from the Astros, and of course, you know that the media isn't allowed in the clubhouse nearly as much. A lot of that stuff's done in the media conference rooms. But I think a lot of these guys were surprised that a lot of the things that they were doing in the postseason was exactly the way they did it during the regular season. So they set a standard and they kept everybody accountable for the last 6 or 7 years. And that's the way it's been around the Houston clubhouse anyway. So they know that's a proven formula. So I think if a lot of the Cubs players look at some of these guys that have postseason success and see what works, I think they'll have a lot of confidence in what they do.
What about getting away from the hatred of other 29 teams about the scandal and the cheating? Do you think that still rubs Houston players the wrong way? It certainly hasn't impacted their play on the field. They continue to have star players that continue to produce and make them a contender every year. But getting away from that, you think that would be helpful for Tucker or a really non-story?
I think it's a non-story, Bruce. And I think it's worth, you know, bringing up, but I think it's a non-story. I think Altuve and Bregman has still felt the brunt of a lot of that because they were kind of the face of the apology at that time. The team put those guys up front because they had long-term contracts. They knew they were going to be around there for quite a while. So that's who a lot of people still associate with the cheating scandal. So I think, you know, for guys like Kyle, Yordan Alvarez, and a lot of these other guys that have come up after that stuff, it hasn't affected them as much. They've kind of just been bystanders.
I want to ask you, I mean, just putting your front office cap on here, but more as the former player, just seeing the type of, like, the 15-year 765 for Soto and 8 for 218 for Max Fried and the money that's just going out to guys left and right. I mean, what is your take just of where baseball is from an economic and health standpoint? It kind of seems like it's the haves and the have-nots, and then, you know, obviously the Astros are going to be turning some guys over here. Tucker's gone. Alex Bregman's likely gone. But that's where the Astros are threading the needle and able to now they pay guys and they're able to identify, okay, we have a one-year guy here. Let's move him and get a guy that's more capable, maybe a 30-home run guy to replace Alex Bregman in Paredes. What's your take just kind of on the status of everything?
Yeah, you just – I think you hit on it. You put out the spreadsheet, and you know what the luxury tax threshold is, and I think the Astros tried to balance as well as they can. I think their owner is competitive enough and savvy enough to go over that line when he feels like it's got a chance to put the team over the top and deep into the playoffs. But otherwise, I think he's going to be pretty rigid on who he spends money on and how to keep this thing rolling. I think the biggest thing that Jeff Luhnow did at the time was put together a process for the Astros organization to sustain success for quite a period, and they have. And it started with the farm system. And when you had guys leave, you had Tucker replacing George Springer, so to speak, Jeremy Pena replaced Carlos Correa, so to speak, and Garrett Cole leaves, and Charlie Morton leaves, and you got guys like Hunter Brown and guys throughout the system and that are coming up and filling those shoes. So I think their blueprint calls for five or six guys that are making very close to the minimum be big contributors on this team. And to do that, they've got to get guys like Cam Smith in the fold. I think they're pretty happy with their last two drafts, but those guys are still 2 or 3 years away. And I think this is what they have to do in the meantime, to bridge what they hope is still a competitive team in the American League West.
Steve Sparks, color analyst for Houston Astros Radio, joining us here for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. Steve made 270 appearances in the big leagues. He started 182 games, but I want to take you back to May 4th, 2004. I believe it was your final season. You come into Wrigley Field for your first and only start there, and you absolutely shove into the eighth inning. Sammy Sosa actually gets the best of you on an eighth inning three-run homer, but 7 1/3, this was the lineup you faced that day. Todd Walker, Corey Patterson, Sammy Sosa, Moises Alou, Aramis Ramirez, D. Lee, Alex Gonzalez, Michael Barrett, and Sergio Mitre was the pitcher.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good lineup. A team that was getting World Series aspirations because of where they went the year before. Do you, A, remember that start at Wrigley Field, and B, you know, what was your takeaway from being able to pitch there?
You know, I do remember it. I remember it pretty well, too. It was my last season in the major leagues. I played professionally for 19 years, but 10 years were in the minor leagues. So every time I got a chance to pitch at a new ballpark, even though I was in my 40s, it was a thrill, especially Wrigley Field, you know, growing up in the 80s and watching WGN and falling in love with baseball. All those things included, but pitching that day, I remember the wind was blowing out and taking batting practice at Wrigley. It was a night game, thinking I may have a chance to go deep, you know? So I had a couple of warning track shots that were run down. Those were probably my best bolts with the 25 mile per hour wind. But I just remember it just being a lot of fun. I remember facing Sosa, and I could see him winding up with the crap that I was featuring with the knuckleball. So, you know, it was fun. I think we did win the game, and I pitched pretty well deep into the game. And, of course, that was my value, is pitching a lot of innings as a knuckleball pitcher. So I was always happy to get pretty deep into the game.
Sparky, why doesn't anybody throw a knuckler anymore?
You know, everybody's chasing spin now. So
well, what's more spin? What spins more spin than a knuckleball? Spin,
yeah, you know, I keep thinking that somebody's going to zig before they zag, you know, and maybe go completely off the grip and go to the nose spin. But I'll say this, the kid with the Padres that was in the rotation, he got sent down toward the end. He's got a really good one. He's only throwing it 25-30% of the time. Jeff Fletcher, who is an infielder with the Angels for 5 or 6 years, he's down in the minor leagues trying to become a knuckleball pitcher. So maybe somebody cracks open the door and gets in there. But I remember Bob Melvin, he was coaching the A's a few years ago, tossed me a baseball in the dugout during the pregame scrum stuff. And he goes, "Hey, Sparky, you think you could throw a knuckleball with this?" And I think this is 2019, and that was the year that all the home runs were hit, right?
Right.
2019, he throws me a ball, and there is no way I could have thrown a knuckleball. It was as hard as a cue ball.
No seams.
And I could not dig my fingernails into that ball whatsoever. So any kind of windy or chilly day, I had no chance.
We appreciate it so much, Sparky. Congratulations on that trade. And I think Cub fans are exceedingly happy about it. I think
they should be.
I think the Astros will benefit from it as well. Yeah. Have a great offseason, great holiday season. Appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
Steve Sparks of the Houston Astros Radio Network. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about the winter meetings and some of the interviews and GMs that Bruce, who, what do you say, Bruce, 20,000 steps a day? What do you think? Did you have a tracker? Do you have a tracker?
I do, but you know what? I stopped looking at it now because I know if I do enough work or not. You know?
I like it. I don't need my watch to tell me to get off my ass.
If you're walking for an hour and a half, you know you're going to get your steps in. So why play that game with yourself? If you're not doing that, you know you're not doing enough that day. But on the other side of the break, we have 45 minutes of bonus baseball talk.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's about time.
312-644-6767. We're here for you. This is baseball season right now, contrary to what other people will tell you. Cubs, Sox, yeah, Bears are still on your mind, but we're thinking positive right now.
Plus, I'll tell you about the secret thing that was included in the Garrett Crochet deal that no one's talking about. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Monday starting at 5 for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio. Spiegel and Holmes are filling in for Mully. And they'll get you set for the game with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And then immediately following the game, Olin, Pat, and Layla Rahimi will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Before the break, I teased that there was a throw-in in the Garrett Crochet deal that I think really put it over the top. And it's the White Sox Christmas tree that's no longer here in the 670 studios, Bruce. I see every team represented here, but I think that black and silver was too enticing for the Red Sox to turn down.
So they threw that in on the deal.
I think it was a mandate. It was like, we're going to give you...
Does WEEI know about that?
Yeah, or? I talked to Joe Weil over there, and he was very... Actually, that's where the Joe Weil, the pre-postgame host of the Red Sox, is getting the tree in the office, I believe, this week. So that's a done deal, which is good. We might need to replace it or a Festivus pull. Let's get something in here.
They must have got the menorah, too. I'm looking around.
Well, they got technically 11 days. Technically.
Yeah.
Technically 11 days.
I think Hanukkah starts Sunday.
I mean, you would know. Look at me arguing Hanukkah with you, but I thought it started on Christmas this year.
Oh, it does? I don't know. I mean, I'm not on top of that right now.
Bonus 45 minutes for you guys. We're not signing off at the top of the hour. Bruce and I are taking it up to DePaul basketball today, so bonus baseball talk. Speaking of bonus baseball, Luis Robert's name came up quite a bit in Dallas. I saw Chuck Garfine say as many as six teams checked in on him. Did you hear Luis Robert's name when you were walking the halls?
Yeah, so I started my conversation with general managers at the GM meetings in San Antonio in November, and the answers were the same. Intriguing player, former superstar. We don't trust the medicals necessarily. We'd like to see him put together a huge first half. And then at that point, I think we'd all be interested. So the contract status is, I mean, for a superstar that he was in 2023, you know, the guy's making $15 million, two $20 million options at the behest of the team. Can you imagine getting that at its peak and looking smart, or getting the injured Luis Robert, who continues to have the same problem, had it twice, that kept him out of big parts of the season, and then not rediscovering his batting stroke, which was the big mystery for the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think they're all gambling on each other, and that goes for Luis Robert. He's got a big-time prove-it season coming for himself because he's got to stay on the field. I'm in a scenario where I would like to see the White Sox move him before spring training, but not for pennies. If it's only pennies on the dollar, then yeah, you package him.
How do you get what you deserve for it? Again, 1 year removed, in our world, in the sports world that we live in, it's like more than ever, if you're bad for a year, you're canceled, right? You're no longer, we can't trust you, you're no good. This guy had 38 home runs. He was a gold glove outfielder. They told him last year, stop stealing bases, you're going to hurt yourself, okay? Because they look at him as a commodity for them or someone else going down in the future. But there was no stopping this guy. I believe in this guy. I can't tell you medically he's going to hold up, but I believe that he expects himself to be a superstar, and he will not stop short if his body allows it.
Yeah, well, I think you and I can argue that, and we'll do that on the other side because we are not going anywhere. Bruce and I, inside the clubhouse, getting a bonus 45 minutes today as the Wichita State Shockers are in town to take on the DePaul Blue Demons over at Wintrust Arena. It's a good one. We're taking you right up to that call. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse bonus coverage coming up on the other side of the break.